And now for the second of tonight's stories by Ray Bradbury. It's called The Murderer.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, Lee. What can I do for you?
Sorry about calling you up at the office. Just to remind you not to forget about my allowance this week.
Yes, son, yes. I'm busy.
I didn't want you to forget, Dad.
I hope you're not forgetting about your homework. I don't see much evidence of it there.
I'll hold it up, Dad. Okay? See?
Yes, right. Bye, son.
Bye, Dad.
Miss Harcourt? Miss Harcourt! Could you remove your headset, please?
What? Oh, sorry. I was listening to Rachmaninoff. I don't like The Merry Widow so much.
I was just going to say that all these papers seem to be in order. Get them off to the public prosecutor's office right away, will you?
Yes, doctor.
Prisoner Brock delivered to interview room 9.
I'll be off to deal with him then, Miss Harcourt. I should be back before lunch.
What? Oh, yes, doctor.
Psychiatrist? Go away, doctor.
I'm here to help you.
If you're wondering why it's so quiet in here, I just kicked the loudspeaker to death. See? No. I'm not violent. Only to machines that go yak, 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 yak.
You're Mr. Albert Brock, who calls himself the murderer?
That's right. Before we start, may I just remove your radio? There. Thank you. That's better for both of us.
You're running up quite a damage bill.
I don't care. As the old song goes, don't care what happens to me.
Shall we start?
Well, fine. One of my first victims was the video telephone. Murder most foul. I shoved it in the kitchen incinerator. After that, I shot the television. Made a beautiful tinkling crash like a dropped chandelier.
Nice imagery.
Thanks. I always dreamt of being a writer.
Suppose you tell me when you first began to hate the telephone.
Guess it frightened me as a child. I never did get comfortable with it, even after I was grown up. To me, it was an impersonal instrument. No warmth, no reality. Then, of course, the phone's so convenient. Friends were always calling me. Hell, I hadn't any time of my own. When it wasn't the phone, it was the answering machine. And when it wasn't the answering machine, it was the fax machine. And when it wasn't the fax, it was the car phone. And when it wasn't the car phone, it was these blessed two-way wrist radios. Wearing one of those, I couldn't get away from anybody at any time. Friends, wife, ringing me up every 5 minutes. Or somebody conducting a market survey. There was no end to it. In fact, there was no end to machines, period. Muzak everywhere you go. Radio. Television, video, CD player.
When did things come to a head?
Oh, it happened one afternoon at the office. I poured a paper cup of water into the intercom system.
And the system shorted?
Oh, yes, beautifully. It was like the 4th of July with bells on.
Made you feel better temporarily?
Fine. Then, at lunchtime, I got the idea of stomping on my wrist radio on the pavement. A voice was squawking out of it. This is a market survey. What have you just eaten for lunch? That's when I kicked the hell out of it.
Felt even better, huh?
It grew on me. Why didn't I start a solitary revolution to deliver man from all these so-called conveniences? convenient to whom? With these things, these phones, these answer phones, these faxes, car phones, wrist radios, you're always in touch. In touch. Yeah. There's a slimy phrase. Touch hell. Gripped, pawed, mauled, massaged, manhandled more like. You can't leave your car without checking in at the head office. Have stopped to use men's toilet and filling station. Okay, Brock, make it snappy. Brock, what took you so long? Sorry, sir. Watch it next time, Brock. Yes, sir. So do you know what I did, Doctor? I bought a quart of ice cream and spooned it into the car phone.
Any particular reason for spooning ice cream into the car phone?
No, not really. It was a hot day.
And what happened next?
Silence happened next. Oh, God, it was beautiful. I just rolled around feeling the silence. It's like a warm, soft kind of cloth, a bolt of the nicest, softest flannel. I had a whole hour of it. I just sat in my car, smiling, feeling wrapped up in that warm flannel.
Go on.
Well, then I got the idea of the portable diathermy machine. I rented one and took it on the bus going home from work that night. Around me were all the tired commuters with their wrist radios talking to their wives. Now I'm at 45th Street. Now I'm at 49th, turning into Beechwood Avenue. Or somebody else cursing at his wife to stop drinking and put the dinner on. And above all this drone, the bus muzak grinding out Tales from the Vienna Woods. Then I switched on my diathermy. Static. Interference. Husbands grousing about a hard day at the office, cut off from their wives. The Vienna Woods chopped down. Then silence. Unexpected silence.
The police seized you?
The bus had to stop. I mean, after all, the muzak was being scrambled. Husbands and wives were out of touch with each other. Pandemonium, riot, and chaos, like squirrels chattering in cages. A trouble unit arrived, triangulated on me instantly, had me reprimanded, fined, and home, minus my diathermy machine, in jig time.
Mr. Brock, may I suggest that if you didn't like wrist radios and car phones, etc., why didn't you join a society of media haters? Start petitions, get legal and constitutional rulings. I mean, after all, this is a democracy.
Yes, this is a democracy. And I am that thing called a minority. I did join societies. I picketed, took it to court. For years I protested. Everybody laughed. But I wasn't going to give up without a fight. That's why it came to a head that day. And that night, I decided to murder my house.
Are you sure that's how you want me to write this down?
It's accurate. Yes. Kill it dead. It's one of those talking, singing, humming, weather reporting, crooning when you go to bed houses. A house that screams opera to you in the shower and teaches you Spanish in your sleep. A house where the kitchen stove announces, I'm apricot pie and I'm done. Or, I'm roast beef, time to baste me. A front door that barks out, you've mud on your feet, sir. And an electronic vacuum hound that snuffles around after you from room to room, inhaling every fingernail or ash you drop. A house that barely tolerates human beings at all.
So, what did you do?
I bought a pistol. Then I purposely muddied my feet. The front door went crazy. Dirty feet, muddy feet, wipe your feet, please be neat. I shot it through the keyhole. I ran to the kitchen where the stove was whining. Turn me over! In the middle of an omelet, I did the stove to death. Oh, how it sizzled and screamed. I'm shorted, I'm shorted. The phone rang then, and that's when I stuffed it down the insinkerator. I didn't really have anything against the insinkerator. It was a practical device that never said a word and purred like a sleepy lion most of the time. An innocent bystander. Then I shot the television. By that time, my wife was running around like a headless turkey. She whooped out the front door. The police came. And here I am.
And you realize that the wrist radio, the car phone, the office intercom system were either all rented or someone else's property?
So help me, I do it all over again.
You don't want any further help from the Office of Mental Health? You're ready to take the consequences?
This is only the beginning. I'm the vanguard of the small public, which is tired of noise and being pushed around and yelled at. Every moment music, every moment in touch with some voice somewhere. Do this, do that, quick, now here, now there. You'll see. The revolt begins. My name will go down in history. It'll take time, of course. It was all so enchanting at first. The very idea of these things was wonderful. They were almost toys to be played with, but the people got too involved, too carried away with them, and then found they couldn't get out. Couldn't admit they were in, even. But the seed had been sown. I got worldwide coverage on TV and radio. There's an irony for you. 1 billion people know about me now. Oh, check your financial columns. Watch for a sudden rise in share prices for ice cream companies.
I see.
Don't worry about me, Doc. I'm just going to sit around here for a long time, stuffing that nice bolt of flannel in both ears.
Miss Harcourt. Miss Harcourt.
What? Oh, yes, Doctor. Sorry.
Hand me my spare wrist radio, will you? Mine's out of commission.
Yes, Doctor. You are.
Thanks. Yes?
Doctor?
Just finished with Brock.
Diagnosis?
Seems completely disoriented, but convivial. Refuses to accept the simplest realities of his environment and work with them.
Prognosis?
Indefinite. Left him enjoying a piece of invisible material.
He goes forward to prosecution, then?
Nothing more I can do.
Thank you, Doctor.
Dad?
Yes, Lee?
Mother wants to know what time you'll be home for dinner.
Usual time. I'll give her a ring from the car when I'm on my way.
Right, Dad. And you won't forget...
About the allowance? No, son, I won't.
Thanks, Dad.
Hello? Is that Department 35B? Could I have Mr. Simmons, please? Thank you. Hello? Just a minute. My other call has come through. I'll put you on hold. Yes? Frank? Yes, I wanted to have a word about... Just a minute, Frank. I've got another call. I'll put you on hold.
Doctor?
Yes?
Diagnosis on case 436, stroke B79.
I'll just get my secretary to punch it up. Miss Harcourt. Miss Harcourt?
What? Oh, sorry, Doctor.
Would you punch up case 436, stroke B79 on VDU?
In those two stories by Ray Bradbury, you heard Judy Bennett, Ed Bishop, Don Fellows, Paul Maxwell, and Simon Treves. The stories were dramatized by Lawrence Gilbert and were directed by Peter Hutchings.